You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, welcome to what promises to be another thrilling, exciting, and riveting installment of the Political Cesspool radio program. It's Saturday evening, April 27th. I'm James Edwards, he's Keith Alexander, and we're both coming to you live from AM 1380 WLRM Radio tonight in Memphis, Tennessee, going out to the AM/FM affiliates of the Liberty News Radio Network and simulcasting online at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Got a little extra pep in my step tonight, Keith, because I'm in a particularly good mood, and there's a few reasons for that. We'll get to all of them before the show is over this evening, not the least of which them being the fact that I just returned from a great and extended family vacation. Work must intrude, of course, and so I'm back on a Saturday rather than a Sunday, as most people would travel back before the work week begins. But no, yours truly plans his vacations between broadcasts. So we left, my wife and I with our daughter, we left early Sunday morning last week after the previous episode. And then, of course, we came back home today so I could be back in time to host the show this evening. I've traveled fairly often for program-related appearances, but this is the first family vacation we've had in a long, long time. I can't even remember the last time. It was just my wife and I and our daughter going out on something that wasn't work-related and having a good trip, and we needed it, and it was great, and we had just an incredible time. But it's good to be home. In fact, I was so excited about the show tonight that I came in at about 4:30 to the station about an hour and a half before tip-off time just to do a little work. I'm not just excited to be back here in the studio. I'm excited to be back in the heart of the Southland here in Memphis, because as we were vacationing, we were at the pool one night, my wife and I, and there was another family near us, a little bit older. The couple was older than my wife and I, and they had two children. We have one daughter, a three-year-old, and they had two children, two boys. One was 14, and one was about, I don't know, 7 or 8. My wife noticed that the 14-year-old boy had painted his toenails with red nail polish, you know, as a woman would do, as a girl would do. And she kind of asked him about it incredulously and, you know, was trying to wonder what was going on there. She said, did you paint your toenails? And he said, yes, I did. She said, well, why? He said, because I can. And then his mother jumped in. They were from Alberta, Canada, of all places. And they were down there where we were on vacation. And she said that he dresses up as a female. He's an entertainer and dresses up as a female and performs in place. This is, you know, we just kind of left it, you know. And when they, you know, obviously when the parents condone stuff like that, she kind of said it in a snarky manner, as if she, you know, were baiting us to say something back as though that wasn't normal or healthy, which of course it isn't. And we just, you know, let it go. Okay. But anyway, so vacation was nice. You meet all sorts, but it's good to come home. One person that's not home tonight is Eddie the Bombardier Miller. He's up in Nashville running in a marathon. So I was on vacation. Eddie's up running for the cancer-stricken youth. And Keith, you held down the fort here in Memphis. Did we miss anything over the course of the last week here in the home of the cesspool?
Yes, indeed you did. And I'm going to bring everybody up to date with the latest developments regarding the Confederate parks in Memphis. And also, we're going to tie that into Confederate History Month. Of course, this is our last show in April, and April is Confederate History Month, so it'll be the last time that we get a bite at that apple. So I think everybody needs to stay tuned. We're going to have a great time tonight.
That is coming up in the second hour. Keith mentioned it is the last broadcast we'll have this month. The month of April is Confederate History Month. It's something we've done every year since our inception in 2004. And we're going to wrap it up this evening. We've gotten a lot of emails, Keith, about our Confederate History Month series this week. And, of course, throughout the course of the month. But this week in particular, there seems to have been quite a deluge of it. I'm going to read a couple of them. If we don't have time to read them all, we'll carry this over into the next segment. But this is exciting. I mean, because, you know, we do this job. We know the audience is out there. And to get the level of feedback that we receive, it's just really, really tremendous. And I think, you know, we've said it 1,000 times if we've said it once, but it all, you know, we like to kick off the shows with the reading of mail from time to time, particularly when they come from locations such as Germany and Croatia. And this is where these two readers write from this week. Hi, James and Keith. You guys have a great radio program, and I enjoy listening in my car as I'm flying down the German Autobahn. So there you have it, Keith, a TPC listener who downloads us and puts it on his iPod and listens to us on the Autobahn. Last week's program was very informative, and I enjoyed learning about Confederate history. After I listened to the podcast, I got home and checked my Facebook account and noticed one of my bleeding heart, guilty white liberal friends, quote unquote, posted a link which led me to the story attached. And the story attached is entitled Confederate History Month Celebrates Racist Traitors and Slavers. So that's what, you know, that's what they say it's about. Keith made the comment that Minnesotans, that being people from Minnesota, don't have much experience with blacks. That's true. However, as you know, times are a-changing. The extreme cold used to keep them away, but the allure of free government handouts is changing all that. We call them move-inners. The prospect of dying in the harsh winters doesn't even keep them away. By the way, coming from Somalia to Minnesota has to be a huge shock, and they look completely out of place. And then, this is a guy living in Germany, previously from Minnesota. He's a Minnesotan living in Germany. He said, we used to get the ones from Chicago who have residents with relatives and take the bus to collect a welfare check in Minnesota once a month. Anyway, so good fan mail. Always like to read it from exotic ports of call. That comes from a listener in Germany via Minnesota.
Well, we've got somebody calling in from Alaska right now, so I'm going to preempt myself and allow him to have the microphone for the time being.
Chris, you're on the air.
James and Keith, it's a pleasure to talk to you gentlemen again. I hope you're all doing well.
We're bouncing around all over the place, my friend. From Germany to Alaska we go. What can we do for you?
Well, I just wanted to say that last week's show was great, but it illustrates the importance of this show, and in particular of Confederate History Month. And let me explain why. I've been thinking about it all week, and it was a heck of a show last week. And it doesn't really matter if it was a false flag operation or not, and here's why.
We're talking about the Boston Massacre, too, right?
Right, right.
Okay.
And in a sane country, James Edwards would be Rush Limbaugh.
Thank you very much.
but we don't live in a sane country. And if the South had won the war, or there was a paleoconservative country that, like it used to be, that the government wouldn't be doing things like false flag operations, and there wouldn't be crazy Muslims allowed into the country. They just wouldn't be.
Yeah, it's just amazing when you consider, Chris, how much things would be different today had the South won. One thing for sure, we wouldn't have been involved in World Wars I and II, because America would have had two nations, and those nations would have half the wealth and half the population of the United States. It was Lincoln that wanted to have that large imperial nation.
Chris, hang on right there. We're going to let you continue your line of thinking right after this break. We're just getting started tonight, folks. Stay tuned.
Are you looking for an affordable way to earn your bachelor's degree? Do you want a college experience that's more personal? Then discover your future at America's Transfer College. Students across the U.S. are choosing Ivy Bridge College as a better, smarter way to earn their degree. Thanks to Ivy Bridge's unique program, starting at a 2-year college and transferring to finish your degree has never been easier. The program is simple. Start with Ivy Bridge College and take your first 2 years of college online. Transfer to one of over 140 of Ivy Bridge's partner schools and take your upper division courses. Then graduate with your bachelor's degree from the school of your choice. Personal attention, small class sizes, affordable tuition, and a clear pathway to graduation. Start your academic journey and contact us to learn more about Ivy Bridge College today. Call 877-622-2059 or visit americastransfercollege.com to find out more.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Okay, folks, we're back, and we're starting off tonight's show by reading emails from listeners around the world. We read one in the first segment from a listener in Germany, writing that he listens to us as he zips around on the Autobahn. We're going to read another email in just a moment, but first we're going to get back to Chris all the way over in Alaska. And Chris had called in last week, and we appreciate him being patient for a full 7 days. So, Chris, it's your dime, your dance, for the spotlight is on you. What else can we do for you?
Well, James, I just wanted to finish up. The reason the cesspool is so valuable, and in particular the Confederate History Month that y'all coverage y'all been covering, is that it reminds people of what a sane country is like. And y'all are like Jeremiah, a voice in the wilderness, crying out, telling people that what a sane country is like, and that we used to live in one. And with the Boston Massacre Part 2, it wouldn't happen in a sane country.
No, people would never have been there that would have pulled this off. We wouldn't have Chechenian Muslim people that basically hate the United States here. Any sane nation would insist that people assimilate, just like America did back when Teddy Roosevelt was the president. But we don't do that anymore.
We wouldn't be giving welfare money. We wouldn't have... And the other thing is that the government wouldn't be doing all this stuff that is unnecessary. You know, there's only so much time in the day and only so much attention that can be paid. And if the government's busy paying for health care and giving people money and paying for groceries and paying unemployment, they can't do the things like watch the borders and, patrol the seas that they're supposed to be doing.
Well, you know, one of the patented trademark comments that we make here on the cesspool is you can't have a first world nation with a third world population. Of course, the liberals saw to it that we had an abundant third world population through the 1965 Immigration Act. And I appreciate in particular your comment about Jeremiah. I remember specifically when Bill Rowland and I were interviewing Alanna Mercer on her infamous second interview on our show, which she thought was going to be a cupcake. Instead, we really started confronting her with the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And she said, you know, you guys aren't popular. You know, people don't think like you. And I said, well, we're not in this to be popular. we are in this like an Old Testament prophet to tell the truth and to give people the nourishment. You know, Hosea, in the prophet Hosea said, my people perish from lack of knowledge. We're going to make sure that people get that knowledge that's taboo to the leftists that are in charge of our society, and hopefully people will be inspired and build on it, and in particular, listening to the real truth about what motivated the South to secede from the Union is something that you're not going to hear very often.
No, sir. And I want to just chime in with, I listened to that particular interview, and I was a big fan of Ms. Mercer's, and most of the time I still like her writing, but just the fact that she couldn't admit that her ethnic confreres were a big part of the problem in right. South Africa and in America kind of showed me, it opened my eyes a little bit. I listened to you all on that show in particular thinking that you were going to be unfair, and you weren't. In fact, both of you were perfect gentlemen, and she didn't come off very well. And that's what got me listening to you and Bill in particular.
Well, it's like, you know, the old saying goes, don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good. But, you know, you could, and this is something that I remind folks, even when there are people like Alana Mercer who has a very major fundamental disagreement with us, we can still appreciate her for the things that she says that we find ourselves in agreement with, and let the rest fall where it may. Chris, thanks so much for the call and for getting this show started off on the right foot. I want to move on now, Keith, to a quick email from a listener in Croatia. So Germany, Alaska, Croatia, just to start things off this evening. He writes, hi, I'm a Croatian listener who thinks the Political Cesspool is a great program. I love it. I'd just like to point out a couple of things. And the commercial James Edwards recommends to the listener to buy Racism Schmacism and give it to their conservative friends. We actually just heard that commercial in the last break. Why just conservative, though? Wouldn't liberals benefit from it even more? I suggest you change the word to either conservative and liberal or nothing at all. Buy it for your friends and enemy alike. I think that's a good idea, and I want everybody to do it right now. Confederate History Month. This is the main part of the email that I wanted to get to. The best thing on the show, he says, is our coverage of Confederate History Month this April. However, I'd very much like to hear more about, and keep this in mind, Keith, as we're coming up on the second hour, we're going to be talking about it exclusively during the second hour. I'd like to hear more about civil life in the Confederate States instead of just about the war. Can you give me any information about their music, their life? Also, it'd be cool if you could bring in someone who could tell us about the variances in history of the Southern dialect. I also wish that you would skip the attachment to the month of April and have a 5 to 10 minute segment devoted to the Confederate States in every program. It'd also be nice to get a list of books to read about the subject. The first time I ever heard anything positive about the Confederate States of America ever was on the Political Cesspool. I see a parallel between the CSA's attempt at seceding from the Federation with my country's attempt to secede from Yugoslavia in the 1990s. We made it, though. However, the Croats had been fighting the Turks for some 5 centuries, so we were pretty battle-hardened. If you want some advice for the future, here it comes. Number one, never give up. Number two, wait for the opportunity. It will come. We had to wait for 70 years, but that's nothing compared to the Spaniards who endured the Moors for over 700. The opportunity came, though, and they threw the Moors out. Keith, sage advice and prescient wisdom from a listener in Croatia. So Croatia, Germany, Alaska, and we're just getting started tonight.
Yes, people bridle at tyranny everywhere, and when you're governed by people that hate you, and you're being exploited economically by them, and you're denied the right of self-determination, that is what almost all revolts and rebellions are about. And I really think that, you know, just look at Southeastern Europe, what they call Slavic Europe generally, and the Balkans. They were under Muslim domination from Turkey, from the Ottoman Empire, for, I guess, longer than Spain was. But they eventually broke out. They were put together in this hodgepodge invented nation called Yugoslavia. And I think a lot of people misread European history. The 20th century history of Europe shows that when people are able to break away and have an ethnically, if not pure, at least a predominance of their own people within their borders, they're willing to live with their neighbors in peace. It's when you are trying to throw together disparate groups that you have problems. Like Ann Coulter said, when in human history has multiculturalism and multiracialism ever been anything except a problem?
Keith, one more thing I want to say before we go to the break, and then we're going to have to do another rapid fire segment because it's taking us a little bit longer to get through these emails, but I did not want to cut them short. I mean, you think it's been 30 minutes, we've read two emails. Well, they were great ones, and we took a call. We do things slow here in the cesspool because we're Southerners. We do it methodically, but we do it right, by God. But one quick word about Boston, because that was something that our last caller had brought back to the forefront. You know, we did that hour at the top of the show last week, Eddie the Bombardier Miller, myself, Sam Bushman. I thought it was an incredible hour. We received a lot of email about it, both good, bad, and indifferent. Some people were critical, saying that we were, feeding the conspiracy fire. And as people know, I'm not really a conspiracy theorist. I think, what the government does is pretty obvious. It can't really be defined as a conspiracy by the textbook definition. Some people thought we were spot on. Some people kind of laid in the middle. Certainly more positive emails than negative. But one email did bring up a good point. And it just said that, irregardless of whether or not it was a false flag or not, if you limited immigration, both illegal and legal, you would not have these problems. And that's exactly right. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with more right after this.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, The Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com, your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Folks, one more bit of good news if you can handle it. You know, I actually got a couple of emails this week, Keith, saying we should cover more good news on the show. That good news brings in people like a moth to a flame. And, you know, it's true. And if we ever find good news, we'll cover it. And we have covered some this at the top of the show tonight. More good news, though, the new website. You know, we've been talking about it for at least a month now. And the launch date has been May 1st. And today's April 27th. So on Wednesday, if you go to thepoliticalcesspool.org, you're going to see a whole new look. And let me tell you something, folks. We got back home about 3 hours before showtime tonight. I had just long enough to unpack and head up to the radio station, and I called the webmaster to see how things were going. And I got a link that's not public yet, but I had a chance to take a sneak peek at the new website. And, folks, it looks outstanding. It looks – not that the current website we have looks bad, because it doesn't. But this website really reflects the professional quality that this radio program has evolved into since the last time we updated the site, which I believe was back in 2006, 2007. And so much has happened. We've made so much news. We've grown so much over the course of the last 5 years. It's time for a fresh look, and we're going to have it on Wednesday, and we encourage you to take a look at that. Now, speaking of good news, a lot more bad news, Keith, if you are a Christian, if you're a paleoconservative, if you're a nationalist, a lot more bad news out there, politically speaking, than good. So I've come up with the new rule that there is a 10-year statute of limitations on good news. So if it's a story that happened anywhere in the last decade, it's still current by our standards. So we got one here because it scares, right? So we got one here from 2004. So it barely beats the right under the wire. It's actually one of the first stories we ever covered on this show back when we got started in 04. And it was brought to my attention again this week because it was somehow brought back up in the news. It resurfaced nearly 10 years later. You're not going to know this guy's name, perhaps, John Rhys Davis, but you'll know his movies. You'll know his movies. John Rhys Davis is a Hollywood heavyweight. He has starred in many movies, including the Indiana Jones trilogy. Not much bigger than that, unless you go to The Lord of the Rings. He played Gimli, the dwarf in Lord of the Rings. So just those six credits, the three Lord of the Rings films and the three Indiana Jones films, you're talking billions of dollars worth of ticket sales. Anyway, John Rhys Davis starred in both of those trilogies as well as many other films, and he made his feelings on race and culture very clear when asked. In an interview, Rhys Davis, the story reads, who plays heroic dwarf Gimli, interprets Tolkien's story of good versus evil as a metaphor for modern race relations. So, look, this is one of the main stars, one of the main characters in Lord of the Rings, saying that what Lord of the Rings is all about, it's a metaphor for race relations. And this is what he said to back it up. There's a demographic catastrophe happening in Europe that nobody wants to talk about, that we dare not bring up because we're so cagey about offending people. But by 2020, 50% of the children in Holland under the age of 18 will be of Muslim descent. I think that what the Lord of the Rings says is that some generations will be challenged, and if they don't rise up to meet that challenge, they will lose their civilization. And that does have a real resonance with me. I am for traditional white male culture. I mean, can you believe this guy? I am for traditional white male culture. Many do not understand how precarious Western civilization is and what a joy it is. From it, we get real democracy. From it, we get the sort of intellectual tolerance that allows me to propound something that may be completely alien to you. I'm burying my career so substantially in this interview that it's painful, but I think that there are some questions that demand honest answers. And so, Keith, a story that nice has to be brought up twice, even if it is a decade apart. John Rhys Davis, and he never recanted that. He never apologized. And wouldn't you know it, he still works in Hollywood.
That's the most remarkable part of it at all, that last comment that he's still there and hasn't been cast into the outer darkness.
If you own
a statement and don't run from it, but it's not what they do.
Well, let's hope so. I'm still dubious. And let me tell you, I'm going to give you a teaser. I'm going to let you know later in this program exactly why things are so precarious and why liberalism doesn't work unless white people are in charge. And we'll get into that either in the second, probably the second hour of this show tonight. But, you know, we need to remember when, you know, that a lot of people, all of the mainstream talking heads put down so-called quote-unquote conspiracy theorists. But in light of history since, let's say, the beginning of the 20th century, and even before that, there's plenty of reason to doubt the bona fides of the government. I remember early on in my adulthood hearing about the three great lies. The first great lie is the check's in the mail. The second great lie can't be spoken in mixed company or polite company. And the third and greatest of the great lies is I'm from the government and I'm here to help you. Think about things like the USS Liberty that we've covered in depth on this program, where the Israeli government tried to do a false flag, tried to sink an American ship that was an intelligence ship monitoring what was going on in the Six Days War with Egypt. And they wanted to blame that on the Egyptians. But, of course, blaming it on the Egyptians depended on all hands going down with the ship. And LBJ basically supported that. He told John McCain's father, who was an admiral in the Navy, he put him in charge of the cover-up. And, you know, what do they say? The fruit doesn't fall far from the tree. We've got another expert liar in John McCain. John McCain is the type of Republican that demoralizes real conservative Republicans, and, you know, quite frankly, conservatives have no place else to go right now as far as having a real chance to win an election but the Republican Party. But quite frankly, you get rebuffed when you have people like John McCain being the spokesman. You know you're going to have false flags throughout government.
Well, it's like we said last week before we even started our commentary on the show, which basically, if people will listen to it again, just pointed out the media inconsistencies with the telling of the tale of what happened in Boston. But we said it up front. You know, when it comes to stories like this, it's not always a false flag. It's not never a false flag. You just have to take each case individually. But the fact that American government has outright participated in false flags is undeniable. I got a story quickly, Keith, before we go to the next commercial break. And this just goes to show, you know, why, again, this show is so important, one of the many reasons. You know, you've got to let the truth be told. And it is just amazing the extent to which people can be brainwashed from all across the political spectrum. But the whole myth of Che Guevara, and we've put this up this week. I mean, this is an incredible story. You know, he is he's an icon for the left, for Marxists, for non-whites. And here's the story of Che Guevara. He was a rich white kid from Argentina named Ernesto Lynch. As a teenager, he excelled in school and participated in chess tournaments. Later, he traveled around South America on his motorcycle, living off his parents' money. He eventually became a Marxist and worked for Fidel Castro. Guevara wrote with glee about shooting his own guerrillas in the head during the revolution. He would shoot his peasant fighters if he suspected them of any kind of treachery. He was so overzealous in executing people that even Fidel Castro had to intervene multiple times to stop him from killing his own men. Some of the people that he executed, he did so for being homosexual. He also executed people for being rock musicians, which he particularly hated. Later, Castro sent Guevara to the Congo to train Marxist fighters. He returned from the Congo and wrote in his diary that he no longer believed worldwide socialist revolution was possible. He claimed that black Africans were not intelligent enough to run a successful socialist government. Here's what he wrote, Che Guevara. Icon of the left. We're going to do for blacks exactly what blacks did for the revolution, by which I mean nothing. The black is indolent and lazy, spending his meager wage on drink. The European has a tradition of work and saving, which has pursued him as far as this corner of the world and drives him to advance himself even individually, independently of his individual aspirations. The blacks, those magnificent examples of their race who have maintained their purity thanks to their lack of an affinity with bathing. Given the prevailing lack of discipline, it would have been impossible to use Congolese machine gunners to defend the base from air attack. They did not know how to handle their weapons, and they did not want to learn. Now, this is a guy who is a pop culture icon. Now, you see all the Che Guevara t-shirts. Jay-Z, the rapper, the black rapper married to Beyonce, thinks that he's a perfect role model, that this guy was all about him. And that this guy was, you know, a liberator of blacks. He was a Martin Luther King before he was Martin Luther King. We got to go to a break, but we'll let you comment on that when we come back, Keith. It's just amazing, you know, what people will believe. They'll believe anything you tell them if you tell them enough. The lie is repeated often enough. You know how it goes. We'll be back, folks.
If you're at all like me, you have a tough time remembering appointments and events. But ladies and gentlemen, I have the answer. It's a premier service on the internet called Memo to Me. It's free. You ought to try it. Now I never miss the honey-do items for my wife or the important business meetings. They have strict privacy protection. That means they will release your email address to no one ever. You will not get spam because of Memo to Me. Unmatched dependability. Ladies and gentlemen, these folks have been around since 1998, and they are absolutely up online all the time to send you your reminders and appointments. They have rock-solid reliability. They have 5 redundant internet connections, diesel-powered generators backing up the system. I'm telling you, Memo to Me is the premier reminder service on the internet. It's free. You ought to give it a try. And, oh, by the way, if you're not available at your computer to get your email reminders, they can even send a reminder to your cell phone or pager. I use MemoToMe.com daily and highly recommend it to you. MemoToMe.com. Memo to Me.
Are you looking to experience the great outdoors in comfort? Are you sick and tired of sleeping bags that are too small, cots that are too narrow, or backpacks that just don't stand up to the wear and tear? Look no further than Teton Sports, a leader in quality, comfortable camping gear. Try our Teton Sports Mammoth 0° sleeping bag. This comfortable family-sized sleeping bag can hold 2 adults and 1 child or 4 young children. Its interior storage pocket holds wallets, keys, and other valuables. Or check out our Teton Sports Outfitter Extra Large cot, a camping cot with a steel frame. It's more than 7 feet long and 3 feet wide and supports up to 600 pounds. Then it folds up to a manageable 3.5 feet by 1 foot. Or our Teton Sports Explorer 4000 internal frame backpack. Its dual aluminum stays adjust to the contour of your back and can hold up to 4,000 cubic inches. Padded shoulder straps, padded waist belts, and padded lumbar area for maximum comfort with airflow systems to reduce heat. It's time you start camping comfortably. Look for Teton Sports products online or at a store near you.
Since disaster can strike at any time, you always need to be prepared. And not just with an insurance policy. Superstorm Sandy left thousands of people starving and stranded for weeks. You need to be prepared with an emergency supply of food. Now through April 30th, save up to 25% on freeze-dried food. During the freeze-dry guy makes and match number 10 can sale. Freeze-dried food packed in heavy-duty double enameled number 10 cans. With over 99% of the oxygen removed, it has the longest shelf life of any food available. Over 25 years. Choose from entrees, meats, vegetables, fruits, and desserts. All made in the USA. Just add hot water, wait 10 minutes, and serve. And the taste, absolutely delicious. Free shipping to 48 states. Now through April 30th, save up to 25%. Visit freezedryguy.com. freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-3663. 866-404-3663. Act today. Don't miss out.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody, and welcome back to the Political Cesspool Radio Program. James Edwards, Keith Alexander here. Just got an email. The good news keeps on tonight. I tell you, this is the good news hour. As Keith returns from the green room, I tell you, those harem girls and Keith, I tell him to wait till the end of the hour because we got a little extra time. But got an email in that last commercial break from Eddie, who's tuned in to us in Nashville, Tennessee tonight, some 3 hours up the road. It was raining in Nashville, and he writes about that. He said, just wanted to let y'all know that I did the 2013 St. Jude Country Music Marathon in less than 6 hours. It was a day-long downpour of heavy rain, strong wind, flooding, and some thunder and lightning the last 5 miles. But Pappy, the old stud, he writes, made it through, and he's going to be spending the night in Nashville. But tuned in to us this evening, Keith, from the state capital of Tennessee, about 3 hours away. And more good news. Before we get back to Shea Rivera, Peter Scoop Stanton is on the line. I'm telling you, he's got more news for you, folks. Peter, what you got?
Good evening, James, Keith, and Sussmore family. Well, behind the scenes, I'm a wheeler and dealer for the Plug Festival in Liberty News Radio. Right now, I'm in negotiations with a possible affiliates in the Washington, D.C. area and in my old hometown, the city of New York.
Wonderful. Now, how about that? I'm telling you, we got the news site coming up. And see, Scoop, in addition to being a staff member here, in addition to being our D.C. area correspondent, our undercover man in Havana, he is. He used to be the international correspondent before he got shipped out of Spain and back to the D.C. metro area. But now, you know, he's still the capital correspondent. So we got the new website coming up, right? And that's good news. And now we've got stations, not just any stations, but stations in New York City and Washington, D.C. that are interested in carrying the cesspool, and we're currently in negotiations with them, and all of this was due to Scoop Stanton's outreach efforts, and they are working through him to make these cities possible future affiliates for TPC and Liberty News Radio. So, Keith, I know you want to congratulate Scoop on his intrepid work.
Yes, I'm hoping that this will convert D.C. and New York into Red State America. It's about time. You know, it's like they say at the commercial appeal here, they have a byword, which of course they don't follow, but it is give light and the people will find their own way. We're going to try to shine some light in that particularly dark corner of the universe known as New York City and D.C. And if we can, hallelujah, man, you know, that may cause the walls to come tumbling down.
Well, James, don't you want to ask how the negotiating is going?
I'm scared to ask. I don't know. You know, during that last segment, I had some sort of a otherworldly experience, and I've had like a sinus headache for a week, and it reached its apex a second ago. So if it's good news, I want to hear it. If it's not, you know. We're on a trend of good news right now. So if it's good news, you can share it with me.
Well, due to my outstanding negotiating skills, take no prisoners, we still don't have any affiliates in New York or D.C.
Well, but look, it's not because hope doesn't spring eternal. At least they're on the hook. At least they're wanting to talk. So,
right. You know, what do we do need is we need sponsorship. We need businesses. Not just contributors, you know, pulling money out of their pocket, going on the website and giving money out of their own bank account. But we need businesses that's willing to sponsor Liberty News Radio and the Political Cesspool. That way I can go to our possible affiliates and say, listen, we got all these businesses, they're on board. I mean, in terms of Keytop Sports and Dixie Republic, and all the other sponsors are outstanding, but we just need more interest. I'm not plugging myself because I'm working for Depolitical Cesspool in Liberty News Radio, but any company, anybody that knows a company that wants to put your name in and be known out there, just shoot me an email at libertyradiosales@gmail.com, and we'll set you up for success.
Well, I got some news for you, Scoop, and Keith, that I've not even shared. Actually, my wife is the only one who knows this. Sam Bushman doesn't know it. Keith doesn't know it. No one knows it because it's an email that came in during the week. But before I tell you the additional good news, yeah, you know, we get interest from radio stations across the country on a fairly regular basis, and it's just a matter of putting it all together. The audience is there, folks. The audience is there for the people who have advertised with us. They've always gotten a great return on their investments. Yes, there's no doubt about it. You know, our quarterly fundraising drives, the next one to kick off at the end of May and run through June, that's what keeps this show on the air. But we need the sponsorships business corporate sponsorships for the affiliate stations, for the network, etc. And anyone that's ever advertised with us, I've never heard of anything except glowing feedback. They've always gotten a great return on their investment. So if you're in a position to do that, we'd welcome you, and it would help us get the show into wider syndication. And again, just the fact that the interest is there to begin with is encouraging. But this is what's going to happen. You know, when we get the new website online, which is coming up next week, I'm going to begin to have a little more active hand in growing the show to more affiliates, and also being a little more amenable to taking on media inquiries, the requests I get to do interviews. After we attained a certain level of success here with the show, I've kind of backed away from my public appearances on television and other radio programs, Liberty Roundtable notwithstanding, just because it's a hassle to go out there and do these things. You always want to grow the brand. You always want to have more exposure. But once you reach a certain level, you kind of can put it on coast or cruise control for a little bit. But you don't ever want to get complacent. So we're re-gearing right now with the new site. We're going to go after more affiliates. We're going to go after more appearances. We're going to start granting more appearances. And one of those requests, the most recent of which just came in this week, from Public Broadcasting. There is a film crew that is making a documentary for PBS on the South, and I can't recall the name of it. It was one of the emails I got, and I have not yet gotten back to the production company yet. But they want me to be on it. They want to interview real Southerners about the South, and they came to know of me through, of course, the work of the Political Cesspool and our Confederate History Month series. So that's exciting. I think I'm going to do that one. I'm going to get back with them, and I'll, of course, keep the audience posted on that. So perhaps be looking for us on your PBS station near you. And it's times like these, Keith, you know, I always wonder, you know, if I had it to do over again, would I ask God to give me your intelligence or my devastatingly handsome good looks? And I just have to thank him sometimes for giving me the hand I was dealt, because that's half joking. But, you know, everything I am politically is a result of the cesspool, but it is not a cult of ego. It's not a cult of personality. I purposely did not want to name the show the James Edwards Show back in 2004 because I wanted it to be about the message. So we came up with a name that I thought was kind of catchy. Sure, catchy. That's the word. And so the political cesspool. But, you know, when we go out and we do these things, Keith, and I know you're on a speaking tour, and we get the somewhat celebrity that comes with it, it's all a result of our good work and the team that is behind us, from the audience to the network, of course, Pete Stanton, the rest of the staff. We're some of all of our parts. But that is very exciting news that Scoop has here. And Scoop, I'm going to turn you over to Keith. He has a few things he wants to say to you. But it caps off an hour of good news, and I'm really excited about this public broadcasting deal and being able to give an interview that shows Southern men the way they should be shown, and they should be shown as men like us.
Yeah, Scoop, you know, it's no wonder that we are a minority voice in America, in Europe, in the world today, because we're in a dark age. You know, most of the white world, most of the nations of the world that have a predominance of white people or are run effectively or in essence by white people, it qualifies as enemy-occupied territory. The left has succeeded beyond their wildest dreams, or at least beyond the wildest dreams of the cultural Marxists when they first set up their pernicious doctrines and their pernicious plans. But we want to shine the light of truth into the dark corners of the world, and that's what keeps us going. You know, we're not doing this. We're not getting fortune, and we're not getting public accolades. In fact, if anything, you know, what we do marginalizes us in a lot of ways, but we believe, like the Bible says, that you shall know the truth and the truth will set you free, and the truth resonates and gets a life of its own. So keep plugging away for us there, Scoop. We appreciate it. We'll keep, like I told Atlanta Mercer, telling the truth like an Old Testament prophet, regardless of what the consequences are. We feel like it's necessary for the health and welfare of our people and the world generally. And I'm going to tease you again. I'm going to tell you why the liberal project is doomed to failure when multiculturalism succeeds.
Scoop, a final word from you before you head into work. You know, we're glad to hear from you tonight because a couple of weeks ago, or the last time you were on, we knew you were on the line and then you were no longer there. And we didn't know what happened to you. You got routed out of the janitor's closet while you were on the clock trying to do a radio segment, did you?
Yep. They're knocking on the broom closet. Like, hey, get out here. You know, get to work. But I like to say good night, God bless, and if you have a business and you want to sponsor us, get a hold of Sam, James, myself, and you're going to make life beyond your wildest dreams.
Well, that's absolutely right. Peter Scoop Stanton pulling his weight for the show. We'll be back with the second hour right after this.
But don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.